It's time for a pause in your day. Welcome to a podcast where we press the pause button on our busy lives for a few moments, and we focus on God's Word with Sharon and Nicole. We pray this is a time of refreshing for you. The Sweet Selah Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Selah Ministries.
Welcome to Sweet Selah Moments. We're celebrating 10 seasons of sharing God's Word with you. And this season is our Selah season. This is our very last episode in this season, episode 152. Our title is taken from a beautiful verse in Habakkuk chapter 3, Even If. But first, because this is our Selah season, we're going to talk about our last Selah word for the day, the tip we have to help us all practice pausing and simply being with the God who loves us. Sharon, this has been so much fun, processing what it's like to practice a Selah pause. So far, we've talked about silence, going slow, solitude, Selah days, sleep, scripture, song, finding a space to meet with God, search, shepherd, and sit. So, tell us, what is our very last Selah word this season? So many S's.
I know. It has been fun. And I'm kind of glad we're done. It's getting a little harder. Oh, my goodness. It's really doing this Selah part of it has really cemented for me the importance of not always doing, but just being.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's our theme song. Okay. Our word for today is stay. Last time we talked about the importance of sitting and how hard it was for my puppy Bella to sit still when we first started training her. The very next thing one trains a dog to do after they learn sit is to stay. Because otherwise Bella just puts her little bottom down on the floor for one hot second and then leaps up again. So we had to teach her to sit and then to stay. Nicole, we're so easily distracted as humans. We're a lot like my Bella. We also can try to sit for a moment and be still and then suddenly remember the laundry needs changing out, or we forgot to call the doctor about an appointment and we're up and running again before we've really sunk deep, S word.
Oh, yeah.
Into a deep time of rich quiet. So we have to retrain ourselves not only to sit, but stay in his presence. Just like it took Bella much practice, I found that the stay of a Selah day took me practice as well. I had to grow into it. How about you?
Absolutely. It doesn't come naturally.
No.
You do finally sit and you're like, okay, I'm sitting. Is this good enough? But there's getting deeper with God requires staying.
It does.
You know, it's a relationship with him. And I think about, we moved to a new school recently and quick hellos to mamas at a school event or in pickup line. It was nice. And you start to build like quick surface friendships.
Right.
But until I started like intentionally spending time with them, having coffee or meeting just to chat about a book or something, that's when you build those deeper relationships. You get to know each other and you get to share life together. And just like with God, the more we sit with him, you know, there's things that come up that I never really get to with him sometimes, you know, that comes with staying, deeper hurts or hidden fears or just longer time to let his love sink deep into my heart.
Absolutely.
Just basking in his unfailing love. And boy, don't we need that.
We surely do. We need to not just sit, but stay.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's a good one.
Goodness. Well, we have had such a rich time this season sitting and staying here at the podcast as we've dissected the Psalms that have the word Selah in them. But today, on our last one, we're walking on over to Habakkuk. Habakkuk is actually the only other book in the Bible that features our word Selah. Oh. And it's only featured in Habakkuk chapter 3, the last chapter of this very short book. But before we get to that chapter, we've got to look at chapters one or two, or we're not going to get the full impact of chapter three. So would you just read, Nicole, the opening verses of Habakkuk chapter 1 for us?
Sure. So chapter 1, this is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere, I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted.
Boy.
Goodness, Sharon. You could be talking about today.
Really could. Yes. We like to think we're so new and different, but humans still have the same issues all these years later.
Certainly do.
His nation was a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People who love to argue and fight. I'm like, oh yeah, here we are.
That's like our-
okay. So, all right. So this is his complaint. God responds in a pretty shocking way.
Mm.
I'm just going to read 5-7. Here's what God says. The Lord replied, "Look around at the nations. Look and be amazed. For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like."
What? So basically God's answer to Habakkuk's complaint about the terrible state of his world is that he's going to send Babylon across the world to conquer nations, including Israel, his nation. Habakkuk did not like this solution at all. And so this is his reply at the end of chapter 1 to this startling news. Habakkuk 1 verses 12 and 13, and then I'll read verse 17. So he says, "O Lord, my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you do not plan to wipe us out. O Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquest?" Sharon, Habakkuk is horrified by this turn of events.
Of course he is. Well, he was whining about the mess his country was in. God's right. Like, no problem.
No, just going to send
Babylonians
some
are on their
there.
Way.
Right. Yeah.
What a beginning to the book.
So funny.
So his disturbedness by his own people's sin did not, in his mind, justify worse sinners conquering them and getting away with killing. So what do you think of the way he's handling it?
Well, he's being very honest for sure.
He sure is. He's like, what are you doing?
Right. This is the answer.
Yes. All right. So that's chapter 1. He's upset. God comes in and says, well, I'm actually going to raise up the Babylonians who are really worse than you, and they're going to conquer everybody. So let's move on to chapter 2.
What a fun little book.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I actually love Habakkuk, but boy, oh, boy. It kind of enfolds this book like a story with two main characters, God and Habakkuk. And their conversation is just riveting throughout. It really is. So Habakkuk has a really great response at the beginning of chapter 2. Verse 1 says this. This is his response to God telling him all this stuff. "I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint." Okay, so God's partial answer did not satisfy.
Right? I love this
so
verse.
So he's just, there he is. He's in the watchtower. He's sitting himself down.
Yeah.
He's going to stay.
He's settling in.
Yeah.
He wants an answer.
Right. So Nicole, have you ever had a complaint and had to wait for an answer from the Lord?
Why, yes, actually. The past 6 months have been a waiting for an answer from severe pain, just crippling pain. I've been waiting going, God, please take the pain away. I'd love to be able to drive my kids or be able to go to their games or talk to people again or read. There was a time I couldn't open my eyes. It was so painful. I couldn't watch TV or read or listen to much things. So I was in that middle of the complaint going, any relief would be good, God, just a little bit. The doctors gave me 15 different medications and nothing took the pain away. So it was pretty intense. So I feel Habakkuk here. And I was just sitting on the couch waiting. God,
yes.
Do you hear me?
It still hurts.
Here's my complaint. It still hurts, please.
Yes.
So I feel him. I feel this.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was a hard
wait. It was a long stretch. Yeah.
Yes. For me, the hardest, there were two hard waits, waiting for Ray to come back from the Persian Gulf War and wanting him to come back alive and whole, right?
Right, right.
Was a very long wait. Waiting to have babies was hard for me because we had a 5-year wait, and it was very painful watching other people holding babies for a while because I did not have the baby that I really, really wanted.
Aww.
So I've had some hard waits too, and God, for purposes that we won't completely understand this side of heaven, often tells us wait. I mean, I know part of it is, do you trust me? Are you just choosing me, Sharon, because I'm like a magician and whatever you snap your fingers at, I'll give it to you?
Right.
Or do you love me because I'm God and I'm me? And our waiting, you waiting through intense pain, me longing for a baby, longing for a husband, turn from war, and not getting answers right away, but still turning to God, says, I love you, which is his greatest commandment. Love me.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, God's answer comes after Habakkuk's wait, the thing that we all love so much to do. He basically assures Habakkuk that no evil nation will get to reign forever. All the proud will be humbled. I'll just read chapter 2, verse 8, so we can kind of get the flavor of God's reassurance to Habakkuk here.
And before you do, I forgot to tell you this part. Yeah. When you say the word you there, because you have plundered, he's talking to Babylon.
Oh, that's good to know.
It really changes the whole dynamic.
It does.
And I'm like, we need to make sure people know.
That it's Babylon, not Israel. Okay, that is good to know. So because you, Babylons, have plundered many nations, now all the survivors will plunder you. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence.
Okay. Hmm. And so this whole section, Babylon's getting theirs.
Okay.
This whole section of chapter 2. So it is reassuring that the Babylonians don't get to ravage everybody else forever.
And live happily after. Yeah.
But God doesn't say when they get theirs.
Yep.
And in the meantime, Babylon is coming to hurt Habakkuk and his people. Yikes.
Mm.
Do you know, sometimes we don't get to see the victory. It comes after our own deaths. That's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
It can be hard to live with, but many people in the Bible didn't live to see all God's promises fulfilled. Abraham was promised he'd become father of a great nation, but when he died, there was no great nation, right?
Right.
It happened, but it happened after his death.
That's true.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's tough sometimes.
It is.
So now we come to chapter 3. This is a chapter that's actually a song with our word Selah in it. It's so beautiful and moving. We read it in the New Living Translation because it's so easy for those listening to understand. However, the NLT does not use the word Selah in the text, but places it in a footnote. We, however, will let you know where the Selahs are because we love that word. I'll start and stop when I get to the first one. So this prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. I see God moving across the deserts from Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. Selah. So neat. So I love this, that I love that he sings this first. I think that's very interesting. That after all the complaining and the hardship, he sings it to God. That's so beautiful.
After God responds.
Yeah.
He breaks into song.
It's that joy that he
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of funny. I don't know if you noticed this, but it's kind of in a Moms in Prayer format, his little thing. He starts by, I've heard about you, God. I'm in awe of your amazing works.
Praise.
And then he praises him. And then, as you did in years past and in your anger, remember our mercy. So kind of like that confession and remembering.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. I was like, oh, he kind of has like a little flow to this.
It
you know?
Does. It actually does. I love it. Yeah.
But I think that in this, he remembers what God did. And I think that's so important in times when we see hard things to stop. If God's not answering our prayer the way we want him to right now in our timing, as we're waiting, if we stop and remember what he's done.
Yes.
That fosters that trust and that
it
hope
does.
Because
it
he's
does.
Done so much for us.
He has.
So much already.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm fixating on the one thing he's not.
Right. Instead of all that he is.
Right. And like, that can lead me down bad paths. And so remembering.
It's really good. I like that. Yeah. So after God explains that the Babylonians will be punished, Habakkuk breaks into song.
I know. It's funny. He sings that. That's great.
And he's met God. Right?
Yeah.
Got it. He sat and waited and watched and God super came.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Well, he's going to go on to praise even more now in the next section. So Habakkuk says, his, meaning God's, brilliant splendor fills the heavens. The earth is filled with his praise. His coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hands where his awesome power is hidden. Pestilence marches before him. Plague follows close behind. When he stops, the earth shakes. When he looks, the nations tremble. He shatters the everlasting mountains and levels the eternal hills, for he is the eternal one. I see the people of Cushan in distress and the nation of Midian trembling in terror. Was it in anger, Lord, that you struck the rivers and parted the sea? Were you displeased with them? No, you were sending your chariots of salvation. You brandished your bow and your quiver of arrows. Selah. Man, so what a description of God to start with. Brilliant as the sunrise. Isn't that lovely?
That is beautiful.
Bam! I think he must have seen some kind of vision of, I mean, God wasn't moving. His nation was falling apart. Then God says, well, the Babylonians are going to conquer you.
Right.
But then God gives him this vision, and he sees God coming, filling the heavens, zipping along. His power is visible and not hidden anymore. Bam! Even plagues and pestilence are under his control.
That's really cool. No need
to fear the Babylonians or anybody else. They are minuscule ants compared to this God. All of a sudden, the perspective has shifted.
Yeah.
When you see how big God is, no matter what dictator is running around in any country that might be threatening to overrun us,
they're
an ant compared to God, who's as bright as the sunrise. And once we get our perspective back, once we know there is a God, he will make right the wrongs in his slow but good time. We're like, okay, so I'm okay now.
Right.
I'm absolutely okay. You will send chariots of salvation, right?
Right.
He will brandish his bow and his quiver of arrows. Basically, God has told Habakkuk, I see it. It hasn't escaped my eye. I'm allowing these things to happen for a purpose, obviously, beyond your understanding. But I see it, and look at who I am. And now Habakkuk's all right.
That's so cool.
I know. I need to read this part whenever I get scared about being invaded by countries.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's a good comfort,
like,
isn't it?
Wait a second.
The God I serve.
The God I
remembered
serve.
About, yeah, who
oh,
he
yeah.
is.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah. So, okay, your turn.
Oh, this is so fun. All right. Starting at verse 10, or the other half of verse 9, because Selah's in the middle of the verse.
Yeah.
You split open the earth with flowing rivers. The mountains watched and trembled. Onward swept the raging waters. The mighty deep cried out, lifting its hands in submission. The sun and moon stood still in the sky. As your brilliant arrows flew and your glittering spear flashed, you marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations in your fury. You went out to rescue your chosen people, to save your anointed ones. You crushed the heads of the wicked and stripped their bones from head to toe. Selah. That is very graphic.
And now they want us to pause and think about it.
On that part. It's like, this is the part of, like, they made this into like a TV show. Like, I don't know if the kids could watch this part.
Yes.
This is pretty intense. This is really interesting, though. I do wonder, I mean, he must have had a vision or God inspired, because this is so amazing to see.
Vivid.
He was very stressed and upset with what was coming. And then the brilliance of the splendor filled it like a sunrise and all of these beautiful pictures. What strikes me a lot in this is the big things in here, the mountains, like the mountains and the ocean, those are all big, pretty permanent things in our physical world, right? But for the mountains, it says here, the mountains watched and trembled. And the mighty deep, which you just recently told me, I was like, what is the mighty deep? It's the ocean cried out and lifted its hands in submission. The ocean doesn't submit to anybody, to nothing. We can't control it, but God has controlled it. In the Bible, he has it be still. And even here again, creation.
Yes.
Is under his control. The big parts of creation that we, people die hiking mountains all the time. We
sure do.
We have no control. And those things feel so big to us. But God is bigger than even the mountains and the ocean. Like, whoa.
Huge.
This is so amazing.
Yeah. Even the sun and moon stood still.
Right.
I mean.
Like the very heavens. Like, those are so tiny. It's just, this is such a triumphant, absolute victory. There's no part of creation or part of our fears that are left like unaddressed in this part. You know what I mean? Like the sun and the moon. I mean, it's just so beautiful. Like, God is so huge. We can't wrap our heads around it.
However big we think he is,
he's bigger still.
He's bigger still.
It just kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. I read this and thought, I sure don't ever want to be God's enemy.
No.
You know,
crushing heads and stripping bones.
And we need to know this facet of God too, you know, especially when we're scared of bullies. Oh, that's right. you don't want to be an enemy of God. I need to start praying for those bullies because
yes.
they don't want what God is bringing.
No, because all of this is to rescue your chosen ones.
Yeah.
And you're annoyed. Like, that's beautiful. He's coming for us.
Yes.
He's doing all this for us.
He is the anointed, saving us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the poor old wicked gets stripped head to toe, down to the bones.
Not sound
right.
Pleasant.
Right. But yeah, he comes to rescue. Mm-hmm. And Habakkuk has seen it and he's jazzed.
He is. He's so excited. He's singing about it.
It's so fun. It is so fun. Well, I'm going to finish this up. There were a lot of Selahs in this one, but quite frankly, you need them.
You do.
You need to pause and think about this stuff.
It's a lot in here.
Yeah. Okay. With his own weapons, you destroyed the chief of those who rushed out like a whirlwind, thinking Israel would be easy prey. You trampled the sea with your horses and the mighty waters piled high. I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Even though fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. And then it ends with, because this is a song for the choir director, this prayer, this song, is to be accompanied by stringed instruments.
It's like there'd be some cymbals or drums in there, too.
Oh, my goodness. There should be drum rolls when he comes in. So I love this so much. He's scared to death at first, thinking about what's going to happen, because it is scary. But then he's like, but he's coming to do this to the people who are invading us. Right. He is, I think what troubles us sometimes is we think evil is getting away with it. Mm-hmm. And God showed him so clearly, oh, no, they are not.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant that even, I said even if, and this translation is even the oh, but our title of this podcast episode is even if nothing's going right.
Right.
Even if Habakkuk doesn't live to see God taking down the Babylonians, which God does using the Persians and the Medes,
mm-hmm.
they are taken down with the same weapons, just like God said that, you know, they were using. It's the same thing. They get it. They get what they did.
Right.
He is still, he's okay because mm-hmm. he's back to having that eternal perspective. And the sure knowing that God will make it right.
That's amazing. To go from where he started in the beginning of the book to being like, yes, this is great. Like not even still like fretting about it. Like he's just settled in knowing that you've got this, God.
Yes.
You see it. I think there's something about that though. Even if I watch my children, they think someone's getting away with something. It's like, hey, that's my job to correct your sister, not yours.
Right.
I'll handle it. They're usually pretty satisfied with that. And they go away knowing their sister's in big trouble. But there's something about human nature where we don't want to see wrong continue.
Correct.
It just irks and, rubs against us inside. It's like, oh, this injustice is so frustrating. So I think he calmed his spirit by
saying, said, oh, I'll be just. You better stop praying for the Babylonians.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's really cool.
That's really fun. All right. Well, first question here. What did you learn about living wisely in hard times? Because obviously these were hard times. And how do we apply it to our own lives?
That even if, I love that word, but even if terrible things come to pass, and they do, there's always hard times, I will trust in God by remembering what he's done, remembering what he's done in the past, and then what he can do, and then by remembering how much he loves me.
Absolutely. Yeah. All these ephemeral things that seem so important to us now. I mean, eating is important, and they were having trouble with even eating. It's not as important as where we're going to spend eternity.
Right.
70 years, 80 years, however long we have here, is nothing compared to forever.
Right.
It isn't. It's hard for us to imagine that, but forever is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So this is just the very beginning.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I learned is to keep my perspective eternal, to not just be upset about the here and now, to know that God's plan is unfolding. He is just. Thank the Lord he's also love, or I'd fall under that justice. Mm-hmm. Jesus took it
Absolutely.
For me. You know, so. Okay, my favorite verse. Here we go. My favorite verse was verse 19. Oh. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. All those scary high mountains, he gives me sure feet, even when I'm scaling hard places, right? And I just love that so, so much. And I also think that his strength lifts us above the sorrows so that we can actually tread on the heights.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to remember that we can find joy in that. I remember days when Ray was in the Persian Gulf War where I was just swept with joy in my morning quiet time, which is totally not normal.
Your circumstances would not lend itself to being joyful and peaceful.
Not even a little bit. Right. And yet I was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so beautiful. I know, the sure-footed. Have you ever seen those little goats that live on the mountainsides that hop from like tiny little
footholds? How do they do that?
They seem so chill. They're just like, whoop, hopping along, not falling. I'm like, that's the image that comes to my mind.
That's a beautiful
this
image.
This cute little deer just hopping around. Like, they're not even worried about it because God keeps them on that mountain. And if he keeps the little goats up there on the mountain, doesn't he also do that for us?
He does.
Yeah.
Yep. He helps us even when it's a scary mountain.
Right.
Oh my goodness. How about you? What's your favorite verse?
So close. We usually pick the same one, but this one I did right before yours, 18. That kind of like the even if, it's the yet I will. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. So even though all this is happening, yes, I will still rejoice in God and be joyful in the God of my salvation. If nothing else, I am saved. You know, this world is so broken and there's so much in it and so much sorrow. But even if God does nothing else for me on earth, never heals me, never does anything else, he saved me.
Yes.
I have eternity with him in heaven. Like that itself, that gift alone is everything.
It is.
And to remember that during the hard times, like he doesn't owe me anything else. And yet I come to him and ask him and he still gives more and more. But even if nothing else goes right in my life, I still have the gift of salvation that no one can take from me.
Absolutely.
And that's such a beautiful assurance and peace.
Yeah. We can always be joyful in God.
Yes.
Because he's the one that doesn't change. And his love is constant. His presence with us, even in the worst of times, is constant.
Yeah. And what a gift is that, just to be with God in all the struggles. So
I love
it. Thankful for that.
Me too. Okay. So what did you learn about God from this passage?
Wow. Goodness. He is mighty.
He's scary.
He's scary. This is like big, epic movie mighty, you know, like big villain. It's just so beautiful to see how incredibly awesome he is, that mountains tremble and oceans throw up their hands in despair, because who can compete with the Lord Almighty?
Yeah.
So he is mighty, but also he's patient and he's gentle and loving and he has a bigger plan than I can understand.
Absolutely.
In all of this, he sees big picture.
Yep.
So.
Yep. I agree. I wrote, first of all, he's fierce and scary. And I want to always be on his side, which I am. I'm his child.
Right.
And he will punish bullies in his time.
Yep.
I don't have to be going, what about them?
Right.
I really actually should be praying for them. Because it will not go well. Yeah.
That's a good reminder.
He wins. I really like the fact that he wins.
He does.
And even in the worst of times, he gives strength to cope. And that's such a blessing, because times can get, we don't even know how bad times can get. You know, we think they're bad now. They could get a whole lot worse. And he'll still be there.
Yeah.
He will always still be there, Nicole.
He will. He'll
and
never
then heaven.
And then heaven will be with him all the time.
Yes. It's so good. Oh, I love Habakkuk so much.
It's a good
and
book.
I really appreciate the Selahs, because you have to stop and ponder the word of God. And when those are put in, it's just a reminder. You don't just read through, close the book, and be done.
Right.
You want to think about, meditate on what he just said.
You have to sit through all these big, huge descriptions and go, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So, well, let me close this out with prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this season where we just dealt deeply with the need to Selah, to be quiet before you, to ponder your word, to think through hard things, to be reminded of great truths. Lord, your word is so rich. How I praise you for it. help us to remember from this season the things that we need for future seasons in our lives, please. Thank you, Father, that even if everything goes wrong, you'll be there. You always will be there, and someday you will make all things right. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have loved our Sela season with you all so much. We hope you have too. We always love to hear from you. You can find us at sweetsela.org/podcast, or you can email us at sharon@sweetsela.org. Join our podcast family by donating and becoming a podcast partner by going to sweetsela.org/donations. Hearing from our listeners or reading a review makes our day. We'll be back soon with season 11. We will be telling the stories of Jesus found in the Gospels and applying his word to our daily lives. Keep up with us by subscribing to our e-news. Write us at sharon@sweetsela.org. Take care, friends.
We are so glad you stopped for a while with us. The Sweet Sela Moments podcast is a cooperative production of Word Radio and Sweet Sela Ministries. More information about this podcast can be found at sweetsela.org. Thank you for joining us.